Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning is the gospel lesson for today, Matthew 5, beginning in verse 13. In the name of Jesus, dear Christian friends, see if these thoughts or words are familiar to you. I thought Christians were supposed to be loving and accepting. Why are they always pointing out what they call my sin? I thought Jesus loved everyone, so why should my lifestyle be called into question by the Christians? I thought God was a forgiving God, so why do I need to feel all this guilt over sin? The Bible is an old book which talks about old people who never imagined what the world I live in might be like. Our whole society accepts this so-called sin. So when people tell me the Bible calls it a sin, I simply tell them the Bible wasn't written for today's world. Ever heard any of those comments? Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." I won't ask you to taste it. Kids told us what that was. Luther says this salt is all about the doctrine and preaching of Christ. Now, salting has to bite. Although they criticize us as biters, we know that this is how it has to be, and that Christ has commanded the salt to be sharp and continually caustic. We must continue to condemn sin. If the church doesn't do it, who will? But we must remember also to speak the truth in love. We do it in kindness and in love rather than judgment. If we in the church can no longer clearly condemn sin and false teaching about the Bible, then we are no longer the salt Jesus said we should be. How often we see the wrong, we know that it is wrong, but we remain silent rather than be offensive to others. We see people attack the Bible with regularity and don't even proclaim our trust in its teaching as being the truth of God's word. It sometimes seems as if it's our prayer, "Lord, please don't make me speak up." Christians have been given the high honor of being salters, the privilege of speaking the word of faith in Christ alone. We have to be a voice that's not silent. If we are silent, we can't be the church. And Jesus did not call us to be his own children, to be silent. In fact, he sent us as ambassadors of his word, to carry forth his word, both the word that is salt and caustic and calls out sin as sin, and the word that is hopeful and gospel-filled, that calls out the Savior from sin. Condemning openly anything that contradicts all that Christ's word commands or proclaims is an important task of the church. The church should stop speaking about what is right and what is wrong. It cannot be the church of God. If you cannot hear from the pulpit or from your church that this particular thing is wrong, or that the world has gone the wrong way, or that this particular doctrine that they believe in is false, then you have no place to trust, no place to hope. Salt, which loses its saltiness, well, it's worthless. Real salt is the true exposition of Scripture, which denounces the whole world and lets nothing stand but simple faith in Christ. You know, when I visit people in the hospital, they're not looking for my opinion about God. They desperately want to hear what God says. Can you imagine meeting someone in the hospital? They're about to go have surgery for something very significant. And the pastor shows up and he says, "Hi, Joan. I'm so happy to see you. And listen, I'm pretty sure that God loves you. I think he's going to be watching over you for this surgery. He'll probably help it out. and watch the doctor. And if everything goes according to plan, we're going to feel better about this whole thing when we're done. I wouldn't blame you if you kicked that pastor right out of the room. You should. For no one wants to hear his opinion. And when I get up here to speak to you, I don't want to tell you my opinion. I want to tell you what God says. Thus says the Lord. That you can depend upon. That you can trust. And when a person is dying, or when a person is going through surgery and they're getting ready to go under the table and be put out, I go and visit them. I'm the last person they see. And you know what I say to them? Here's what God promises. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, says the Lord. Call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it will be opened to you. You have not because you've asked not. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct all your paths. You can depend on him who has called you. He will do it. And on, I give them the promises of God, so that as they close their eyes and sleep, that's the last thing they hold on to. When they wake up, I know that they'll be given the gift of those promises, the fulfillment of those promises in their life or in their eternal life. Because you see, my opinion, and please don't tell my children this, isn't always right. But God's will never fail you. That's why it's so important we get this right. God wants us to stand up and witness to his word. He's given it to us for a purpose. And the purpose is the world is so corrupt and full of false testimony that he wants us to have something we can depend upon and trust. When I talk to children in confirmation, the first thing I talk to them about is, who are you going to listen to out there? Who's going to help you make the decisions you need to make? Is it God? Is it your best friend? Is it your boyfriend or girlfriend? Who will tell you what is right and never change their mind? Well, that's the beauty of the scriptures. For they tell us over and over again, this is what God says. Luther says, if I neglect this treasure and let it slide in order to look for other ways to be pious, to reconcile God and to atone for sin, then I am a ready victim for all the various snares and traps of the devil. And I have become his obedient servant. I wonder, have you ever thought that at times God should trample us underfoot because we've lost our saltiness? Jesus says, you are salt, but he also says, as we saw with the children, that you are lights. Apostles and all preachers of the truth are the light of the world. Because he calls them a light of the world, their teaching must be authoritative and adequate to enlighten the whole world. Thus you hear from the pulpit, thus says the Lord, not thus says Pastor Woman. Because you can count on every single word the Lord speaks to you. We make our stand fully upon God's word. There is no other light necessary. Indeed, anything apart from this teaching is sheer darkness. I'm going to tell you about a little evangelist. She's 10 years old. And she's sitting on the front steps of a row home in Baltimore. It's Sunday around 1:12 or 1 o'clock. And there come her little friends in the neighborhood walking past. And this little girl says in her commanding voice, did you guys go to church today? All the heads shook. She said, you come over here right now. I'm going to read you a Bible story. That was my daughter, by the way. She was my little evangelist. But you see, she wanted the light of the gospel and her love for Jesus to shine in their hearts too. She wanted to know the joy that she found in the Jesus who loved her and died on the cross for her sins. I wonder, how anxious are we to share that same gospel? Don't you wish sometimes we're like little kids who say things and don't even think about it? Many times that's the case when we talk about sharing the gospel. Anyone who's supposed to be a light must be sure that he does not sneak off into a corner, but publicly stands up fearlessly for the word of God and for the Savior, Jesus Christ. The nature of light is to make itself visible in the midst of darkness, and therefore Christians may expect to be persecuted, slandered, shunned, even lose their lives in the process of producing light. Light must contrast darkness to be easily seen. Probably there's no religion more persecuted on the earth than Christianity. There's none that has become a greater offense, even in our own country. It saddens me to say that Christians who stand up for the word of God in other countries are killed on a regular basis. Thanks be to God, we still have the freedom in our country to speak our faith and to worship freely. Don't know how long that'll be here. Pray constantly that God will make us free so that we might share our love for Christ. We are to be lights. We are simply to be so uniquely tied to God's word of truth that people will come to see God in our actions and glorify God over his light shining through us. I think the greatest prayer we can be is, Lord, make me salt and light. Let me stand up for Jesus who stood up for me. And help me to be brave in a world that condemns your word as being exclusive. This is the call of the Christian church. It's the call of our church, too. May God grant us all to be salt and light. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, may it guard your hearts, your minds. In Christ Jesus, you can depend on him who has called you. He will do it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be and abide with you always.